Anything good needs a little editing, right? I'm Daniela Fierro, producer of Vermont Edition. We've edited this podcast for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening to our show.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. Next week are the primaries, and we also have some rain coming in, too. So for now, why don't we enjoy this sunny day and this brief pause from the news and focus on something that we all can agree on, dessert. Today is our annual Vermont Edition ice cream show. We'll hear from some of your favorite frozen treat spots in the region to hear how business is going and how they make their ice creams, creamies, or non-dairy products. We're also creating a list of your favorite places to get ice cream and the unique flavors that you've tried or made yourself at home. We'll collect all your recommendations into a big list that we will put on the web post for today's show, which you can find at vermontpublic.org. We have two guests joining us in the studio this hour and a couple more on the way who will be calling in. We are joined today by Colleen Palmer. She co-owns Palmer Lane Maple in Jericho with her husband. Colleen, welcome.
Thank you.
We're also joined by Matt Bonoma. He owns Vermont Cookie Love in North Ferrisburg. Matt, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Colleen, I have been so curious to hear about the Palmer Lane origin story. It's a place I have loved visiting for years. But tell us how it came to be.
We started in 2008 as a wholesale company, but then we decided we would open a small little store in Jericho. Oh, you're just going to sell maple products. And that's really how it began. And then people kept coming in and asking us for creamies, which we thought was quite funny because it was December when we opened and we thought, well, it's not really creamy season, but okay. So we started researching, and then March of 13 was when we officially started doing creamies. And at that point, we had one machine and we only did maple because we are Palmer Lane Maple. So we only served maple creamies. And then from there, we have just kind of exploded and bought and sold machines. And now we have, you know, four creamy machines and, you know, sorbet and two creamy trucks. And it's just been nuts over the last 12 years.
If one wanted to buy a creamy machine, where would one go?
Oh, that's a great question. There are places that you can buy them. Taylor is the workhorse of creamy machines. There are other brands, so you can buy them. They're quite expensive, but generally you can find them pretty reasonable on like Facebook Marketplace sells them, but they're quite expensive. Brand new ones will probably run you $25,000.
Wow.
Yeah. So used ones are a little easier on the budget.
That's fair. Well, they are spitting gold. So
yes.
Expect that. Matt, you're a little bit newer to the ice cream business. You bought Vermont Cookie Love in 2021.
That's correct.
Is that right?
Yeah. So it's been 3 years now.
What motivated you to buy a dessert shop?
Good question. So I had worked in food and beverage for about a decade before moving to Vermont from Colorado. We moved to Charlotte, and there aren't a whole lot of businesses around there. And I had been looking for something to either start or to buy. And I've got three young kids, so we were already big fans of Cookie Love, spent a lot of time going there. And one afternoon, my wife said, "Hey, I'm about to change your life," and she sent me the emailed me the listing for Vermont Cookie Love.
We're having a fourth kid.
No, thankfully not. Although she would happily do that. And so I reached out to the owners and talked to them, and it was just a really good fit with me wanting to be local and run it still as a family business and really carry on the tradition that the first owners started.
Mm. And had you worked in the food or beverage industry before?
So I had done consulting for food and beverage businesses, which I thought would just perfectly apply to going out there and running one, and have learned some really hard lessons over the last 3 years around it's a lot easier to tell somebody what to do than to actually do it yourself to figure out those problems on the ground. But that's also most of the fun of it, is figuring out how do we solve the issues that come up on a daily, weekly, yearly basis?
Oh, I want to get more into that part of the business in just a moment. But first, let's take a phone call. And listeners, if you want to tell us about your favorite creamy spot, or maybe you work at an ice cream or sorbet place in the area, I want to give it a shout out. Call in at 800-639-2211. Let's go first to Montpelier with Ariellis on the line. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going today?
Good. So I understand you're from Curly Girl Pops, it looks like. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah. I own a plant-powered, plant-based, seasonal popsicle business. We've been operating since 2017. And we incorporate locally sourced fruit, certified organic fruit, and basically they're all fruit smoothies sweetened with Vermont maple syrup. And we attend the Burlington Farmers Market, and then we do wholesale around the state.
What's your most popular flavor right now?
Our most popular flavor right now is the watermelon basilade. It is basically juiced watermelon from Full Moon Farm, also from the Burlington Farmers Market, and then we infuse homegrown basil into the maple syrup and then add some lemon. So it's a very refreshing treat for this peak summertime in August.
Oh, that sounds amazing. If you're describing your flavors to somebody, does it change? Do you change how you describe them if you're talking to a little kid versus an adult?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Kids always really like looking at my flavors by color. So if you come visit me at the farmer's market, you'll see I have kind of like a rainbow umbrella mobile cart set up. And then my menu has a beautiful photograph picture of all of our flavors. And so we're trying to encourage eating colorful, vibrant, plant-based creations. So for kids, they're always kind of into eating the vibrant reds or the yellow. So they usually go by color. And then like our older audience who's more into more unique flavors, I kind of guide them and tell them, you should try. We have this other flavor called Blue Magic, and it's a yogurt-based flavor with blue spirulina and chia seeds and lime juice. So the older people usually go for the more obscure flavors.
Well, Ariellis with Curly Girl Pops, thank you so much for calling in, telling us about your business. It sounds really delicious. All right, I want to talk to you both about how exactly creamies are made. And to kick us off, I want to play a clip from an unlikely source, Governor Phil Scott. This is from a fall 2020 press conference that he organized. Now, this was in the midst of the pandemic. Dr. Mark Levine was there to give a health update, but they all decided to lean on the side of levity for a moment here and confirm for everybody who is listening, because they'd gotten a question about this, I believe, in the previous week, they wanted to confirm that creamies, despite some doubts, were in fact a Vermont dairy product. Let's take a listen, and you'll hear Governor Scott first, followed by Agriculture Secretary Anson Tebbets.
Now, before we go into today's questions, we had a question on Tuesday from Steve in the Northeast Kingdom that challenged the credibility of our beloved Vermont treat, the creamy. We needed to make sure that in the minds of Vermonters, there was no doubt that creamies are a dairy product. So I've asked Secretary Tebbets to make it clear. He's on the line now, and he's done a little bit of research this week. Maybe you could fill us in.
It's dairy. There is cream in creamy. Now, creamies, they can come in many flavors. There's vanilla, chocolate, maybe black cherry, and perhaps the most iconic one is the maple creamy made with Vermont maple syrup. You can even get a swirl of maple and vanilla, and the combinations are endless. At this point, I would ask Dr. Levine, he might want to look away, The next statistic may make the docs cringe a little bit. Most creamies are made with a 6 to 7% butterfat. That's why it's smooth and creamy and good.
All right. Well, we'll spare you the rest of the description. It's very, very descriptive, though, if anyone wants to go back and listen. But instead, let's hear from our guests, Colleen Palmer of Palmer Lane Maple in Jericho first. What ingredients go into a creamy?
So it starts with a basic creamy mix, which has obviously milk and cream and sugar and then some stabilizers. And then you add the flavoring to it as you wish. So for us, maple is probably 70 to 80% of what we sell. So we add in our own maple syrup. But then if we're offering other flavors like black cherry or black raspberry, then we add those flavors in as well.
Okay. And you have a sugar bush, right? The maple is literally your maple, right?
It is our maple, but we also partner with other maple producers in the area. Because my husband is the sugar maker and he is extremely picky and likes a certain flavor profile. Mm. So we don't just take any old maple syrup. It really has to meet our standards.
Oh, wow. Can you tell me a little bit more about the particular profile you go for?
You really want something with a lot of flavor. Okay. You're adding maple syrup into a whole lot of milk and cream, so you don't want it to get lost. So you definitely want something that's got a good, strong flavor.
Okay. And Matt, how does the ingredients that Colleen just described, how does that differ from what goes into, say, just a regular hard ice cream?
So the ingredients are going to be similar between the two. I think where you're going to find the differences are in the ratios of some of the ingredients and how much butterfat is going into it, how much of the milk and cream and sugar, so that obviously the hard ice cream, as the name implies, can freeze in a hard fashion, whereas the creamy, because it's got a higher fat content, is going to be a soft product that melts much more quickly.
Mm. And we heard Secretary Tebbets say that creamies typically are made with a 6 to 7% butterfat. Is that, I feel like I saw something in my notes for today's show that yours is even higher, which is maybe what makes it so good.
We use 10% butterfat for our creamies at Cookie Love. And I think really what you get from that is a great mouthfeel when you're eating it. It coats your mouth in the best possible way. It makes it really decadent and indulgent and delicious. The flip side of that is that then you get a product that tends to be softer because it does have more fat in it. So it's not a product that we can actually physically, for instance, do like a chocolate dip with. So we just have to tell people no when they come and ask for that. We have other options. We crush up our cookies as a topping and we do some other fun things. But a creamy generally with that percentage of butterfat is going to be delicious and it also is going to be soft versus with, say, 5%, it's going to freeze a lot harder and so it will hold its shape better.
Interesting. Okay. Colleen, how did you guys come out on that equation?
Exactly the same. We have a 10% butterfat. If we ever offered 5%, we might as well just lock the doors and close the business because people would be rioting in the streets.
Absolutely.
5% is obviously cheaper because there's not as much butterfat in there, but those tend to be icy as well. And that's why your 10%, like Matt said, is very creamy on your tongue. It's very delicious. You're not going to get that icy taste.
Okay. So if somebody's wondering, hey, why am I paying maybe what feels like an extra buck for this creamy? Part of the reason could be those types of ingredients that are going into it.
It is. And, we get our creamy mix from a Vermont company. So they're buying their milk from Vermont farmers. So you may be paying a little bit more, but you're also supporting local in ways that you don't even realize you're supporting. The farmer that's getting their milk paid for, and it's just not sitting there. They're not having to dump it. The local place that's making your creamy mix, the maple syrup, all those local factors come into it. So there are, it's just like anything. If you want a cheaper creamy, there are places to get a cheaper one. You may not be happy.
Yeah, you're paying for what goes into it.
Couldn't agree more with that. We do the same thing. We try to buy as many ingredients from the highest quality suppliers that we can find and from Vermont-based companies. And in the reverse order. So we try to buy Vermont and great quality as much as humanly possible. And often that does cost a little bit more, but we're a small state. It's important to support each other and all be rowing in the same direction and not be buying from some giant food conglomerate in Texas.
Right. Well, let's take one more call here. Janet is calling in from Ferrisburg. Janet, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. My cousins grew up on a dairy farm, and I was born allergic to milk. So I've been into creamies forever, but I'm really into the plant-based ones also. So Offbeat Creamy, I've never even been there in person. They have a flavor to die for, to live for, which is a chocolate with brownie pieces. And I have lived near Cookie Love, and I've been a fan of theirs for a really long time. And Shy Guy Gelato in Burlington makes sorbets and dairy-free ones as well as dairy-based ones. So there's a lot of wonderful stuff to choose from, and I'm really grateful that some of them are dairy-free so I don't have to have eczema.
Well, Janet, that's great. Thanks for telling us about your favorite spots. I also love Offbeat Creamy, too. They do some wonderful flavors that kind of play off of, I think, the coconut milk that they use. Yes, it's great. It's in Winooski. Sarah writes, I hope you include some ice cream from the lovely southern part of the state, specifically Brattleboro. Nick's Licks has an amazing creamy, and Lilac Ridge Maple Creamies are made with Miller Farm milk, made with Tavernier, might be mispronouncing that. Apologies, chocolate dust. That sounds incredible. And Sarah, later on in the show, we are going to hear from a ice cream shop in Manchester, down in southern Vermont, so be sure to stay tuned in for that. Francis in Belmont writes, our go-to spot for the best maple creamies in Vermont is the Green Mountain Sugar House in Ludlow. This fact has been certified by our 4.5-year-old grandson, Tobin, who insists we stop there every time we drive by. Well, if it is Tobin certified, it is probably the truth. Let's add one more voice to the conversation here. Ted Castle is the founder of the Burlington-based Rhino Foods. They make ready-to-eat cookie dough and other baked inclusions for ice cream food distributors and at-home snacking. Ted, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in. Now, you, Rhino Foods, works with Ben & Jerry's to make their cookie dough. First, let me just say, huge fan of your work. Thank you so much for what you do. How did that partnership with Ben & Jerry's first come about?
Well, without making this too long a story, we actually started with a ice cream frozen custard store at the Champlain Mill called Chessie's Frozen Custard. My wife and I did that when the mill first opened up. So listening to Matt and Colleen is dear to our hearts, because that's actually how we started, with a very small shop. As we started to do more things, we made an ice cream cookie sandwich called a Chester and made cheesecakes and other things. We started to grow, and we were making a product for Ben & Jerry's for their scoop shops, brownies and cookies, and they came up with the idea. They were taking our cookie dough at the store in Burlington, chopping it up and put it in ice cream. And I know it's hard to believe, but there was no such thing as cookie dough ice cream back then. It was in 1991.
It's not a world I want to live in.
Yeah, it came in 1991 after 2 years of trying to figure out how to get gooey, chewy cookie dough in. It became 25% of their sales in 1992. So we've been fortunate now to basically sell to about 60% of the cookie dough that goes into ice cream nationally is made at Rhino by 250 amazing people, and we make brownies and cakes and things like that. So we started with a really small frozen custard ice cream store.
Wow. Now, many of us, myself included, might remember being a little kid and being told by your parent to not eat too much cookie dough before it goes in the oven because there's raw eggs, it'll make your stomach hurt. How do you all make cookie dough that's edible, that isn't going to get people sick?
We use pasteurized eggs, or some of our recipes don't have eggs, we just have water. But it's really about the pasteurized eggs, also the flour is heat treated. And then it's really about your sanitation and your manufacturing process, which is incredibly critical. Mm. So most bakeries really shouldn't be making edible cookie dough, but like, we wash and sanitize every day at Rhino. Mm.
I'm curious to hear from our guests about this, too. What can you kind of describe to us the lengths that you have to go to make sure that a place that probably gets very sticky and covered with ingredients stays clean, Matt?
Absolutely. Everything we sell is either sticky or makes a lot of crumbs. And so we work very hard. The team works very hard to make sure that as these messes arise, we need to be going back and dealing with them right away. Otherwise, it can all just snowball because we're a very busy shop and often people are just trying to deal with the line of people out front. But if you don't do that in a quick, efficient, sanitary way, then you won't be able to give people the great product that they want. So we work really hard on just making sure that is baked into what everyone does all the time, is cleaning up, making sure things are clean and sanitized.
And Colleen?
Same idea. I think any place that serves food should be clean. And we tell our crew, clean, clean, and more clean. You're going to come in, we clean, and we clean all day, and then we clean at night. And nobody has ever gotten sick from our place. And and that's what we tell our crew. You don't want to go someplace that's dirty, whether it's, a pizza place or a burger place, so our customers are able to look in and we want them to see that we are clean. We also clean our machines once a week and we tell people, I'm sorry, I can't open early, because we are cleaning machines. We're very proud of that. And we want people to know that.
Yeah. Ted Castle with Rhino Foods, you're a family business. How important is that aspect of your work to you?
It's really critical. I live in Charlotte, so yes, I've been to Cookie Love numerous times. And, we just really believe that trying to create a great business in Vermont, we're very focused on workplace practices. And so when you own your own business as privately held, I think you're in it for the long haul in a different way than sometimes publicly held companies that are trying to make profits on a quarterly basis, or it just has a different mentality. So it's always been part of who we are and what we are. Is it's not about how big we are, it's really how good we are. And we've been fortunate to grow every year and stay a privately held business. And we hope to. But my son Rooney is now the CEO, so there's been a transition there. We want to stay small, stay in Vermont, and we want to stay private.
Well, Ted, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it. That's Ted Castle, with the Burlington-based Rhino Foods. They are the ones responsible for all that delicious cookie dough and I believe the brownie batter that's in Ben and Jerry's. Their products are also available in many other forms. Ted, thank you.
Thank you. And everybody, make sure you eat lots of ice cream, especially if it's cookie dough.
Let's go back to the phones. We have Deanie and Shelburne calling in. Deanie, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I'm here.
Hi, Deanie.
I'm here to hi. I am here in Shelburne to support Colito and his super duper great popsicles, fruit flavored, from just great combinations: mango, mango, pineapple, blueberry, strawberry, just all good natural flavors.
Amazing.
He's been in business for about 3 years now, and we just love him. He sells out at farmers markets every weekend. And we happen to buy in bulk from him because I have four grandchildren who just love them.
Oh, Deanie, well, thank you so much for telling us about Colito's and for supporting local, too. Matt and Colleen, we've been talking a lot about fruit and popsicles here. What is your most popular fruit flavor, Colleen?
Most popular fruit flavor.
Do you do a black raspberry?
But blueberry would trump black raspberry. They're close, but maple and blueberry is a very popular combination. It reminds people of the blueberry pancake. So that's probably and the second one, if it's a fruit, is pumpkin.
Pumpkin. Ooh, twist.
Pumpkin, yes. In the fall, we just offered it in early July. It's kind of like that like, oh, well, you know, we'll bring a fall flavor in. Yeah. Wow. So that one is really popular.
All right. I'm going to have to try that. That sounds great. Yum. Matt, what about you?
So we don't do a fruit-based creamy at the moment. We do have four different kinds of sorbet that are all fruit-based.
What kinds?
So we have a mixed berry, a raspberry, a lemon, and a mango. We also do have a strawberry ice cream, a black raspberry hard ice cream as well. So, and we make our own strawberry lemonade fruit pops as well every summer, which kids especially love those. It's just strawberries and the lemonade that we make in-house every week.
Oh, that sounds great. Mm. Let's go back to the phones. We have Freda calling in from East Montpelier. Freda, tell us about your favorite frozen treat.
I definitely want to give a big shout out to Sisters of Anarchy Ice Cream. They not only have amazing ice cream, but amazing senses of humor. The flavors all have really funny names that are often very punny. They're all local. They grow. They use all, you know, local Vermont dairy products, but grow all their berries and mint, and all the flavorings are grown locally on their farm, Fisher Brothers Farm in Shelburne. But more than even their ice cream, one of the reasons they deserve a huge shout out is the Becky, who is the owner of Sisters of Anarchy, does a lot for supporting women in the community. I could go on and on, but if you go on their website, they have a whole section on heroines in women's history, on women who were movers and shakers in their communities currently. They are the only dry ice manufacturers in the whole state of Vermont, and Becky is currently supplying women who are fighting cancer and doing a hair-preserving system called cold capping. She's become a dry ice provider for women who are cold capping through their chemotherapy in order to preserve their hair. Wow. And she's just an amazing person, and they make amazing, amazing ice cream. Oh. So shout out to Sisters of Anarchy.
Thank you, Freda. And if you're interested in learning more about them, Becky was actually a guest on our ice cream show last year. And she talked a lot about that dry ice part of their business, which I found so fascinating. So you can find that on our website, vermontpublic.org. We got an email from Clarissa in Queechee who says the very best maple creamies in the state are definitely at Silloway's in Randolph, a great family-run business and a fun place to get your creamies. We also received an email from a listener named Justin, who's with the Vermont-based nonprofit People Helping People Global. And he says that they are putting on their 12th annual Brain Freezer 5K this September. It's a 5K where, get this, participants stop halfway through the race, eat a pint of Vermont-made ice cream, and then finish the race. It's a great time, Justin says. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year. It's in Burlington, and they usually have between 150 and 400 participants. The last several years, they've served up Island ice cream pints. That's a guest on our first ice cream show 2 years ago. The race raises money for People Helping People Global's micro-lending and international development projects. Justin, thanks so much for writing in. Do either of you guys think you could do a 5K where you eat a pint of ice cream in the middle of it?
That's nope. A no here.
No way. Nope.
That is a feat that should be in the Olympics. I would definitely watch that. Actually, before the show, we were talking a little about some of the challenges of being in your business, including staffing. That's a challenge in many different sectors of the Vermont economy right now. But I'm curious to hear about how staffing works for you all, being in a business that is so focused on selling as much as you can during those warmer months and maybe relying on seasonal workforces. Matt, how does that work for you? What are some of the challenges there?
So we're open year-round at Cookie Love, but our busiest time of the year is obviously during those warm summer months. During the summer, our team primarily consists of high school and college students, many of whom have worked with us for 3 or 4 or 5 years now at this point. And that's a wonderful thing because they are enthusiastic and knowledgeable and friendly. It's a challenge in that they have very clear start and finish dates to what they when they can come and work with us. And basically, the business then has to adapt to their schedules. And we know that in the middle of August, people are still going to want to come out and get creamies, but we might have half our staff packing up their bags and heading for college. And that is definitely something that a problem that we need to solve every single year.
Mm. And what about you, Colleen? Is that also a challenge at times?
It is. We also have a summer crew. We don't serve creamies all year long, so it makes it a little bit easier for us. But we do have a summer crew, and we are a family business. My kids are much older, so they are part, and they have been, but they are part of our crew. So we have two daughters. Our oldest one manages our creamy trucks and our social media, and our youngest daughter runs the trucks and also is an integral part of working at the store, as well as my husband and I. So the staffing isn't always high school and college kids. Sometimes it's your own kids.
Are your kids old enough, Matt, to start working?
Mine
there
are 11, 9, and 7. So we're
laws.
We're slightly on the early end, but pretty soon we can press them into service.
And Matt, you mentioned that you're serving ice cream year round. Do people actually come in and get a creamy or a scoop of ice cream on one of those sub-zero days?
They do. So creamies we usually do about March until roughly the 1st of December or so. Then we do hard ice cream all winter long.
Okay.
And we always remark, it will be a day in January where it's negative 5 degrees outside and someone will be standing at the window asking for a scoop of mint chip. We don't actually have an inside space right now, so they need to go eat it in their car or outside. And I love how passionate people in Vermont are about their ice cream and about their creamies. It's always impressive.
Respect. Well, listeners, call in and tell us about your favorite ice cream, creamy, sorbet, popsicle place. We want to hear about it. 800-639-2211 is our number. Also, ahead of today's show, we posted on Instagram asking for your recommendations, and we got so many. I'll read a couple off here that haven't been mentioned so far. Canteen Creamy in Waitsfield, Burlington Bay in Burlington, Morse Farm in Montpelier, Nick's Creamies in West Brattleboro, and Red Hen in Middlesex. We have one more ice cream spot to visit on our tour. Karen Jeriak is with Cold Cow Creamery in Dairy Barn in Manchester, which she co-owns with her husband. Opened in 2020, I believe. Karen, welcome.
Thank you.
So you opened in 2020. That's quite the year to open a new business. Well, what was that like?
So we had purchased our property in 2018, and the tenant that was in the restaurant building wanted out, and then COVID happened, and our lease was up in June. And our kids had always worked at the Vermont Summer Festival out in East Dorset, and they needed to make money for college. So we were freaking out because we owned a hotel and a restaurant, and our restaurant we had shut down that summer. Mm. So we decided to do a dairy bar in downtown Manchester, figuring it would be safe and that we could just, you know, toss the food out the window just for our kids to make money for college to pay their tuition and give them spending money. That was our goal.
Yeah.
And so that's how it came to be.
And how has the business grown over the last few years?
It's been great. We only do this summer, and only right now. This summer we did May through August, but it's good. We sell Island homemade ice cream, and then we sell the Hood soft serve 10%. So we get a ton of people coming, so it's great.
What's the most popular flavor been this summer? Do you have a sense?
I would say for the hard ice cream, it's usually the maple, walnut, coffee, chip, and sea salt. They all run. Wow.
Oh, those are separate. That's not all one, right?
No, yeah.
Okay.
Sea salt, caramel, yeah. Vermont maple, walnut, yep.
Mm. Sorry. And then I was checking out your website this morning, Karen, and I saw that there's a motto on there that says, "Life is too short, so laugh when you can and eat ice cream every day. Don't count calories." I loved that. Where did that come from?
From me.
It's a personal motto.
Everyone comes here. I'm like, have one a day. I eat one a day.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it. That's Karen Jeriak with Cold Cow Creamery and Dairy Barn in Manchester. So be sure to drive by if you're in that area. Karen, thanks.
Yep, bye.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. We have Wayne calling in from Brookfield. Wayne, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Michaela. I'm in the beginning stages of opening my own ice cream shop in Barrie, Vermont, and I have little knowledge of what to do. And I'm wondering if there's any resources or like a mentor or consultant company or books or videos that would kind of lay the groundwork of the research I would need to open up an ice cream. I'm learning a lot by this program already, but opening up an ice cream store from scratch.
Oh, well, Wayne, I'm so glad that you called in. I think we have two experts here for you. Colleen, we'll start with you first since you've been in the business the longest. Any recommendations?
A huge one, and I can't recommend them enough. There's the North American Ice Cream Association. And you can certainly look me up if you want more information, but they have a Facebook page that is incredible for information. You can read it. You can post it. It's great. They have a website. They have what they call Scoop School, where you can go and learn how to make ice cream. They also have a convention every year. This year, it's always in November when it's not ice cream season. Mm-hmm. This year, it's in Savannah, and we have everybody there, from those who are considering opening a business, who just opened a business, who've been in business for 20 years. So it's the North American Ice Cream Association. Mm, a huge resource.
That sounds great. And Matt, what do you think?
So I'm always happy to chat if you want to reach out, but I would also recommend reaching out to some of the equipment manufacturers. So for instance, Colleen had mentioned Taylor. If you look into, start exploring what you want to do, whether it's hard ice cream, whether it's creamies, and actually reach out to the manufacturers of the equipment, often they will have resources. They will be able to guide you through, no, you don't need this machine. That's overkill for what you're doing. You want to look at this machine. So they can help you navigate parts of that process as well.
Mm. Wayne, have you decided on a business name yet?
Yeah, kind of. Between two, there's actually Coneheads is one, but there's a one in New Hampshire that I'm not sure if I can name it Coneheads, but a Banana Blitz is another.
Oh, those are great. I like the SNL reference. Well, Wayne, good luck. We'll be sure to stop by when you open up your shop. Let's go to Melissa next, who's in Chittenden. Melissa, you're on the air. Go ahead. Hey, Melissa, can you hear us? All right, Melissa, we'll...
Hello?
Yep, there you are. What is your favorite ice cream shop?
Well, I wanted to speak up for Central Vermont and Southern Vermont area. There's one called the Maple Angus, and it's in Center Rutland, which is basically near West Rutland. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that
Great.
One.
No, I haven't heard of it. What's your favorite thing there? If it's called the Maple Angus, I'm assuming a maple creamy.
Yes, their maple creamies are to die for, and... like so many other callers have been saying, the business is so family-oriented and community-oriented. Josh and his wife have a full-time restaurant year-round now at that location. They started with just the ice cream, and they've expanded, and they're just really wonderful people. So I really wanted to give a shout-out to them.
Oh, well, Melissa, thank you so much for calling in. And we also have gotten some recommendations via email about places all across the state that people love to get ice cream. Janice in Putney says, shout-out to Putney's Hidden Springs Maple Creamies, which also use Miller Farm milk, especially their chocolate milk, and they use their own maple syrup. David emailed the creamiest in Wallingford. We vote for Kelly's Snack Shack in Wallingford on Route 7. Outstanding and large portions. Very important. Melissa had mentioned that the place that she recommended also had a restaurant attached. And I know, Colleen, you have creamy trucks. Matt, you all also sell hard ice cream. You sell cookies as well. How important is it to business to have that kind of secondary form of that second thing you're selling, or the secondary form of income to keeping business going strong? Colleen?
I think just like when we started Creamies that we'd never planned on, it was a customer who kept asking. The same morphed with the creamy trucks where people kept coming in and said, oh, can't you just wheel that creamy machine to my daughter's wedding on Saturday? And we were like, sure, lady, it's 700 pounds and no problem. But then lo and behold, we found a creamy truck. So we ended up in this niche business that has been extremely popular, and so much so we ended up purchasing a second truck. And so it's nice for us to get our name out there, but it's also great fun to do weddings and celebration of life and birthday parties and bringing maple creamies, not only to Vermonters, but out of staters who are attending that event. So,
and Matt?
Yeah, the cookies for us is a big piece of what we do, especially in the fall and winter and in the off season. We really ramp up the cookie production. We also do fundraisers with local school and sports groups where we sell them our frozen cookie dough at a steeply discounted price and allow them to raise money and support their causes. So that's also a big piece of what we do in the off season. And then the cookies we bake and ship in gift boxes across the United States every single day. So that business also gets very busy, especially over the holidays.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you were in the cookie shipping business, too.
We are. We ship very nice gift boxes all over the country.
That's great. We have an email from a listener named Ellen who says that I make gelato using the milk from my family's herd of Jersey cows in Bakersfield. The name of my business is Paisley Scoops, and we'd love to see you at the farmer's market in Franklin or Chittenden County this fall. We use lots of local ingredients and always have at least one non-dairy option on hand. Speaking of non-dairy options, we have a caller, Chip, in Burlington. Chip, we'd love to hear what you're recommending.
I really recommend Shy Guy Gelato, Flavor Maestro Paul. He has studied in Italy. He has a small shop, and he makes six gelatos every day from scratch. In my opinion, his dark chocolate gelato is the best in the world, and I've been to Italy to try that out.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, Shy Guy Gelato, thank you so much, Chip, for the recommendation. A couple other recommendations from Instagram, Bragg Farm in East Montpelier, Wilcox in Manchester, Milk House in St. Johnsbury, Allen Home Farm in South Hero. And one Instagram user says that they love the vanilla maple twist from Bagel Cafe and Deli in the New North End. Is there a flavor or a topping that your customers have been asking you for that you haven't done yet, but you're kind of curious about trying, Matt?
That's a really good question. One of the things, it's not the most exciting answer, but that we get asked for a lot that we don't currently do is actually cherries on top of sundaes.
Oh.
And it's one more thing to manage for us and to keep the ingredient in stock and in the right place and not make a terrible mess with the red syrup it comes in.
Yeah, I could see that being tough.
So we right now, you know, we say we understand, we appreciate that. And sometimes you need to know when to call it quits and what where your sweet spot is.
Yeah. Well, people could buy, you know, maybe you could pack in your purse a little container.
Exactly. A little to-go jar.
Colleen, what about you? Any requests that you've been kind of considering?
We're also in a small space. We've tried not to be everything to everybody. Yeah. We really want people to taste the ice cream, so we don't have a lot of toppings. More on the flip side, we have maple sprinkles. We are the ones that started the maple sprinkles.
Wow.
And so we sell an insane amount of them, and some people have named them maple crack. So that's one. If, again, you know, if we stop doing them, then we might as well just, you know, close the doors.
Do you sell those to other places or can you buy a jar of them at your shop?
Nope. You can only buy them either on a cone or we do sell them if you purchase a pint.
Okay. Controlling the supply. I respect that a lot.
And just, again, you know, you only have so many crew and so many hours the day and you need enough just to keep for the store.
Yes, so. I hear that. Well, we got an email just now from Leslie who writes, Kingdom Creamery of Vermont is a Vermont family farm and creamery who supplies fresh ice cream, dairy, and creamy mix to so many local shops that have been mentioned today. Here's to Kingdom Creamery, the farmer, and the cows. Kingdom was a guest on our 2022 show, and we learned a lot about the mix that serves as the base for ice cream. So it was something I didn't know about till we started doing these shows. Matt, was that something that you had to learn about when you got into this business?
Absolutely. I had to learn about every aspect of it, but even just what a creamy was. I grew up in Massachusetts, so that's not natural to my lexicon and understanding. It's just soft serve ice cream there, and it's typically 5% hood mix or something like that, and it's a very different product than what you get here. So I really had to buckle down and go to school around what are we selling? How do we sell the best possible product consistently every single day?
Mm. And Colleen, this I was just thinking about this when Matt was answering the creamy versus soft serve thing. How often do you get asked a question from a non-Vermonter? What is a creamy? Is it just soft serve?
Almost daily. We are a destination. So people do come and we do explain the difference. But usually I will say, so where are you visiting from? I said, because if you've lived in Vermont longer than 20 minutes, then you know what a creamy is. And it's usually just a nice time to connect with somebody and answer some questions. They usually have more and maple questions as well. But we do a little bit of education in the store.
Well, educate us. Can you tell us what your elevator pitch answer is to folks?
The difference between a creamy and soft serve is the butter fat. You know, like Matt said, you know, the regular soft serve that you're going to get maybe at a Dairy Queen is going to be 5%. It's going to be icy and it's going to be, it's all right. But a creamy 10%, and they're, depending on the place, they're using high quality ingredients. So that's the biggest difference. And it's going to be that nice, creamy, smooth taste on your tongue. And it's not low fat. So, again, if you're looking for the low fat creamy, then don't come to Palmer Lane Maple.
Don't count your calories.
Yeah.
Well, if the CEO of Dairy Queen calls me and is angry today, I'm going to point him in your direction.
Absolutely. Colleen. Send him my place.
All right. Last question. What is your favorite ice cream, creamy, frozen treat that you're enjoying this summer? Or are you just around it so much that you're like, I cannot have one more sip of ice cream, bit of ice cream in my mouth?
So I try not to eat it every single day for obvious reasons. I will say every month or so, I will eat one of our maple coffee creamy twists. And you just get that reminder of, oh, wow, this is really delicious. This is great. And when you don't eat it every single day, it is always nice to have it and then say, oh, now I understand again why people might wait in line to go ahead and buy this.
And what about you, Colleen?
Maple coffee is also one of our most popular favorites, yeah. One of my favorites as well. But the other one is maple and chocolate, and that is really popular and also really good. The maple and chocolate kind of balance out each other. Mm. Great flavors.
Wow, maybe with some maple sprinkles on top.
Yes, okay. There you go. Yes.
Planning out my afternoon. Well, Colleen Palmer of Palmer Lane Maple in Jericho, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing your expertise.
Thank you for having me. It's been really fun.
We're also joined by Matt Bonoma of Vermont Cookie Love in North Ferrisburg. Matt, thank you. It's been fascinating to learn about your business.
I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.